This is the PMP Industry Insider Podcast. You're hearing from Cole March and Triangle Pest Control's Donnie Shelton and PCO Bookkeepers, PCO M&A Specialist, and TurfBook's Dan Gordon, as well as some of the biggest players in the pest control and lawn care industries. We're talking about what is changing in the industry and taking you straight to the front lines of what the future holds. If you're ready to grow your pest control or lawn care business, you're in the right place.
Hello, everyone. Welcome out to the PMP Industry Insiders Podcast. I'm Donnie Shelton with Dan Gordon. And Dan, you know, this episode is going to be a little different because we're going to talk about something that everyone loves talking about. Can you name one thing that every single person likes to talk about? Yeah, themselves. Exactly. So.
Let's talk about something everybody loves.
Yeah, let's talk about something that everyone wants to talk about. So yeah, we're going to talk about ourselves a little bit just because we love bragging and we're big braggers. But no, I thought it would be really good to lead our podcast off with just kind of an introduction of the purpose of the podcast, a little bit about me and you, and really, you know, where we're trying to go and how we're trying to help others in the industry. And I thought it would be really good to start this off with one of my favorite quotes. It's probably one of the most overused quotes that I think of, I can think of in business, but I certainly can resonate with this quote. And it's from one of the greatest hockey players to ever play hockey, Wayne Gretzky. And his quote was, you know, I skate to where the puck is going, not to where it has been. And this is from a person who was the greatest, I mean, hands down, greatest NHL player of all time. He holds 61 NHL records. You know, he's made the most goals. The guy almost made, he made 894 goals. And he had the most assists. I mean, there's just tons of records that this guy has made. And so, you know, his perspective on, you know, focusing on where things are going and not where they currently are at, I think has a lot of application in business. And it has, you know, I think it sets up what we're trying to do here with the podcast pretty nicely.
I think that over the years, pest control has been a pretty steady industry that, you know, you go out, solve the problem and put people on routes, but you introduce technology to pest control, lawn care, or any other business. And now all of a sudden it's a game changer and you need to skate to where the puck is going, because a lot of people who are using some of the old techniques of marketing, running their business, they're going to get left behind. And so this is kind of a neat way to push this, to create a community, to share ideas and whatnot. So I'm excited about it.
You know, and the other thing too, I mean, when you think about it, business really is nothing more than a game, right? It's a game of how do I make everyone happy, which I think in relationships and your personal life, that's probably not a game you want to play. But in business, we can play this game, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it really is. I mean, if you think about it, right, there's really five main players in the game, right? There's you, the owner, right? There are your customers, there are your employees, you know, your people, there are vendors, and then there's banks and finance companies. And if you can keep, if you can play the game in a way where you're able to satisfy the needs and make all of these folks, these different areas happy, you're winning, right? And so that to me, when I think about business, you know, there's a lot of complexity that comes along with starting a business, with owning a business, operating a business, transforming for what's happening in the world. You know, there's a lot of complexity, but at the end of the day, it truly is a game. You know,
it's interesting. So we have several types of clients, those that grow like crazy, and maybe they're not looking at all five stakeholders because they're focused on one. We have clients that are pretty steady and not growing that much, but are very profitable, and they kind of do what they do, and they're not that aggressive, and so they're making others of these stakeholders happy. But the interesting thing is if you can, you know, juggle all five of these keep them all in the air and keep everybody happy, you know, that's the way you're going to grow a successful business, and a business that's going to be strong and stable in terms of staying around financially. Because we work with so many companies that are all about making the customer happy, and that's terrific. But they don't have enough money to go to the next level or even make it through the winter without massive credit lines. And so, you know, they operate one foot in the grave. The idea is to make all of your stakeholders, you know, work with you and happy and whatnot. And I think that we're going to talk about a lot of this as we move forward.
It is. And it really truly is an issue of balance, right? If you're, I always talk about this as the wheel, right? And if you're too heavy on employees and you're not making any money as an owner, your wheel is imbalanced, right? If you, like you said, you're highly leveraged and you don't have enough cash to handle payroll, your wheel is unbalanced. And so it's making everyone happy and doing it in a way that you can have this sense of balance. So, you know, as we kind of get into this, you know, we talk about business as a game, right? And really thinking about playing the game in the way where you're on top of what's happening, and you're on top of where things are going. And really, when you think about the rules of the game, right, what's the best way to play that game? I, you know, me personally, I think about, you know, I did this long ago. I break my my business into kind of, I call them seven centers of management, right? And I would love to tell you that I was some rocket scientist and I came up with this all on my own. But I think any kind of major business book will pretty much break your business into the same categories. But, you know, I like to look at, you know, how's my leadership doing? How's my marketing doing? What's going on in finance? What's happening with management? And, you know, management is very different than leadership. What's happening with my leads in terms of generation and conversion? How well am I developing my people? And then ultimately, how does this get delivered out to our customer? And so, you know, to me, if you can structure your time as an owner and you can get good in these, what I call these seven critical areas, really understand how the game is played, there's no doubt that your business is going to grow and you're going to be better. I don't know if you agree with me on that one, Dan, but I mean,
no,
for me, this is what it's all about.
Yeah, what's interesting is when a long time ago when I went to business school, actually your different areas of concentration, your accounting, marketing, finance, operation, and management, those were your core curriculum. Back then they didn't focus on leadership, but if you think about leadership, it's probably the most important because you then create all those other silos. But now if you start reading a lot of the literature from Harvard Business School and all of these think tanks for, you know, business, it's all about leadership. And so leadership's the most important thing, and that allows you to create your marketing, finance, management, you know, your development of people, customer service, and your lead gen, conversion, sales, and whatnot. So it's leadership is probably the single most important thing.
And so there you have it. I mean, that really is the essence and the purpose of this podcast, right? The PMP Industry Insider is really about growing your company. And it doesn't matter if you're just getting started, you know, you don't have your processes and your systems in place, or let's say you've got all that in place and now it's time for you to get to the next level, right? I mean, in all cases, it's about understanding what changes are happening in the business or really in the industry. What are those changes? What does it mean? How do I play the game so that I can win? And, you know, the great thing is Dan, both you and I, you know, we're not sitting in some ivory tower in a university, which, I mean, I'm grateful for those folks. I'm not criticizing them, but, you know, I, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but I run a pest control company. I started one back in 2006 and I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and I also have a marketing company. So point being is that, you know, and Dan, I know that you're an entrepreneur as well, right? I mean, we are in the trenches and just like everyone else, probably even the listeners that are on this podcast, we're just trying to get better. You know, we're just trying to make, you know, we're trying to make our businesses better. And so, so with that, you know, I think one of the things that you're going to hear us talk about an awful lot is, you know, with the PMP Industry Insider, the question that we're going to be trying to answer quite a bit is what is changing in the industry? And then really taking our listeners to the front lines with those folks that are driving those changes in the industry so that they can be, much like Wayne Gretzky, you know, they can be skating to where the puck is going, not necessarily to where it's at now. I mean, my story is pretty unique. I'm going to talk about it here in a moment. But I had one of those. I was fortunate enough that when I started at the time, not a lot of folks were paying attention to digital. I jumped on it pretty early, and our business was well rewarded for that. But Dan, anything you want to add about, you know, where we're going with the podcast? I mean, for me,
I think the whole idea was born out of the COVID thing when we decided to, you know, what could we do? What's the next step? How do we, you know, capitalize on this? Because with every calamity is an opportunity. And so when we first did the first webcast, you know, I've heard from a lot of people, if you get 15 or 20 people on a webcast, you're doing okay. And we got over 500 people because everybody wanted to know what was going on. By the way, over 500 people. And you know, when you do a webcast, only half of the people show up. So we had over 1,000 people who wanted to get on or who signed up. And we kept the momentum going. And I think that we're still hundreds and hundreds of people are tuning in. And it's really pretty neat. And it's not just PMPs, but it's those who are on the who are servicing or serving the industry. We have insurance brokers, we have investment bankers who are on the line. We, you know, and it's you know, we think that there is a void. We know that you know, there are others doing podcasts. Some are doing very specific podcasts. Some are doing very entertaining podcasts. We'll try to entertain you, but for the most part, we're going to give you cold hard facts that you can use, and as actionable items to move your business forward. So
yeah, it's all about growing, and it's all about getting better. And with that, let's get into what everyone loves talking about. And Dan, I guess I will leave this off. Just because I love talking about myself. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, when I think about the pest control industry, I'm just going to start with how much gratitude I have for this industry. You know, my story about how I got started with Triangle Pest Control and how I got into the pest control industry is probably a little non-standard. You know, I didn't have any parents. I had no experience. My very first job in the pest control industry was as an owner. I had purchased a company and not even serviced even the first account before I owned a company. But, you know, my background is actually computer science. I went to school at NC State and got my degree in computer science. I've been in the Air Force since I was 17 years old. And when I was looking to, I actually wanted to go and be a big corporate hotshot. I wanted to be a CEO, and I applied to Duke and got into their MBA program. Luckily and thankfully, I turned them down. And, you know, I decided I wanted to own my own business, and I did a ton of research on different industries. And at the time, this was back in 2006, you know, pest control was kind of this, you know, it was definitely off the map industry where most folks did not pay a whole lot of attention to it. But if you looked at the fundamental numbers, I mean, there was recurring revenue, there was high retention. It just looked like, you know, it was a high barrier of entry. And I just said, you know, this looks like a great, great industry to get into. And so I did the unthinkable. I walked away from this nice, cush, stable, secure job as a lead Java developer at Progress Energy, and made my entire family think that I had lost my marbles and that I was completely mentally off the camp here, and started a pest control company. And I think I've talked about this, or I'm going to be talking about this a little bit in a future podcast. But, you know, my family did not think that I was making a very wise decision at the time. But, you know, just looking at it strictly as an investment, I knew that it was the right thing to do. And much like what I said earlier, you know, at the time, with my computer science background and with, you know, kind of a marketing slant in the Raleigh area, no one was really paying attention online. And so we just jumped in, and man, back then, if you named a pest in a city, I owned the top three organic listings. And that's how we got started, you know, and today it's a multi-million dollar company. We service several markets, and it's something that I'm very proud of. We have great people. I've got a great management staff. And I would love to tell you that it was just some easy, rosy walk, but it wasn't. I made a lot of dumb mistakes along the way, and I learned a lot. But, you know, now I'm very proud of what we've built. And, you know, we have a solid team of folks now. And, it's just something that has really, you know, when I say I have a lot of gratitude for this industry, it's provided a lifestyle for me that I could never, I would have never imagined that I have. And it's provided me an opportunity to help other folks achieve the same. And so it, for me, has been a wonderful thing. I care about this industry. I have a very vested interest in making sure that we keep our industry strong. And I learned early on that, you know, the better that everyone is as an industry, the more stable and secure we all are. And so this is really important. And so that's my triangle story. I'll keep this as brief as I can. Again, we just love talking about ourselves. At least I do. But, you know, the other part is I also own a company called Cold March, which is a digital marketing agency. It is by far, and I don't shy at saying this at all, we are the best agency in the industry, bar none. We service only pest and lawn care companies. My Cold March story is a bit unique. You know, as I was working my way through Triangle, I always had this mindset of working myself out of a job. And, you know, marketing was the very last thing I would let go because it was just so critical to grow my business. And I went through several SEO firms. I went through several different companies trying to find the right fit. And I could just never find a company that I felt like ran as well as Triangle or could execute and get us the marketing leads that we needed. And I had worked with Cold March in the past. I realized there was a ton of talent there. There still is a ton of talent there, way more talented than I could ever be. And I decided, you know what? Maybe I know that there's other folks in our industry that struggle with this. And so I purchased Cold March and I fired all of our big companies and I focused us strictly on pest and lawn. And over the years, we've accumulated a lot of folks in our industry. I feel like we do a great job for them and we help them execute and get more customers and we become a key partner for them. And as a result, you know, now I get to sit in a seat where I get to see what's happening across the country as far as our industry when it comes to marketing, what's happening on the digital side, what's working, what's not working. And so that's my story. It was way long. But, you know, again, I now have nothing but gratitude for what we do at Cold March because, you know, I get to sit in this unique position where I see a lot of different businesses. I see a lot of different ways that people are leveraging digital to grow their businesses. And we get to help a lot of people too, because a lot of folks come to us and they're kind of lost in digital. And, you know, when you sit down and talk to someone from Cold March, they not only know the digital side, they know the industry because that's all we do. And so with that, that's me in a nutshell. I've got four kids. I like to fly. There's other, you know, long walks on the beach and the color blue. I don't know, but that's it. I think that's probably good enough for me. So Dan, how about you? Let's talk about you, how you got your start. And what
well,
you're
my story's been out there for a while, but it's kind of an interesting one. You know, I went to Northeastern University, graduated with an accounting degree, went to work for a company called Touche Ross and Company. Touche Ross was one of the predecessors to Deloitte. So Touche Ross and Deloitte Haskins and Sells got together. And so worked for them for a few years until I got my CPA certificate, worked in their small business tax department, doing mergers and acquisitions. We were actually, it's kind of interesting, back then the cable industry was doing a roll-up. So the cable industry kind of looked just like the pest control industry, right? It was all done, all owned by mom and pops, right? But what happened is cable, you used to go for a cable license for a territory. You would buy it from the government and then you owned it, right? And then along came some consolidators who wanted to do the roll-up. One of them, Century Communications, which was one of our one of our clients. So we worked on a whole bunch of those deals and got to see how that worked. So spent some time there also doing, obviously, tax return to tax planning and a little bit of auditing. And a friend of mine who I went to high school with. So I go to college. There's 4 years of college, then a few years out at Deloitte. And so he's been in business. He decided to go into the pest control business. Actually, he went to work for a pest control company for about 6 months and then started his own company. So he's about 5 years into this thing, and he calls me one day and he says, listen, I've got this juggernaut, but I just can't handle it. The money's going out as quickly as it's coming in. I don't know what to do. Can you come and help me? So I did. I came and helped him, and I was amazed. first off, he was making so much more money than I was, you know, with my shop CPA.
He wasn't the greasy pest control guy with a cigar hanging out of his mouth.
He was actually, and he was enjoying it, and he enjoyed the fact that he was in the trenches doing, you know, the work, and he was making so much more money than us college graduates with our, you know, our fancy degrees and our, you know, just the sheepskin and being a consultant and telling people what to do as opposed to doing what you tell people to do, right? So anyway. Started working with him more and more, and he basically said, listen, why don't you come in here and we'll be partners? And I said, okay, that sounds cool. It's pretty entrepreneurial. I knew that that's an area that I wanted to explore. And so we became partners, and through a bunch of different things that happened in his life, family issues and personal issues, he basically wanted out. So I bought him out. So here's this pest control or this accountant owning a pest control company. So I came in as an owner too. One of the funniest stories ever was that we had a carpenter bee stop that nobody could handle. And how hard could that be? So I went out and got on a roof and with a can of PT and started trying to pick them off in the air. And he drives up and he goes, what the hell are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm killing the bees. And he goes, all right, you stay in the office.
So no, that's hilarious.
So that was one of the other things. And then once I owned the company, we had a night route of fast food restaurants, a company called Roy Rogers, if you remember that, and all throughout New York City. And so I own the company now. And so my wife, or my wife-to-be at that point, this is why we'll always stay together. She stayed with me in the middle of the night. She drove around and did this route with me. And back then we all had 5-speed trucks. So she was the one who would teach people how to drive a stick. And she'd come home, oh, my neck, it's terrible. You know.
Oh, that's funny.
Out to dinner and whatnot. And anyway, so we grew the company quite nicely. And I was thinking, you know, I wanted to go that MBA route too. And I actually applied. You probably don't even know this. I applied to several programs, including UNC, and was accepted to several. And when I went to sell my business, the fellow who actually bought the business, Ed Bradbury, who was Viking Pest Control, and you know them in the Northeast, ultimately was sold to Anticimex. He said, why don't you sell me the company, and why don't you come here as a CFO? And I said, at that point I had a family, young kids and whatnot. And I was like, you know, that's probably, let's see how that goes. So we stayed there. And at the time, Viking was only a few million dollars. And we took it to, one of the PCT 50 at that point, which was a lot. It was a lot smaller than what the PCT 50 or 100 are now. And ultimately around Y2K, I said, okay, I'm an entrepreneur. So basically I wanted to start an accounting firm that would focus on small businesses. And at the time it was when PestPac was going to the cloud. It was these like Citrix where you could put QuickBooks up on.
Ooh, Dan Gordon, boy, you are dating yourself now. Yeah. Keep going. This is all part of the story.
And so, people in the industry, because I knew, people from national and from the state associations, they were asking me, hey, can you do our accounting? And the answer was yes. And so we kind of started doing, I started saying this industry niche thing is pretty neat. And so that was probably 19 years ago or so. And, the technology's come a long way. So now we're working with hundreds of pest control companies using amazing technology that grabs people's bank documents, that has character recognition. So I could look at your bank statements or call up a bank statement from 3 years ago based on some amount that you spent or a vendor that you used. We use QuickBooks Online for the most part. We use PestPac, Pest Routes, ServSuite, RealGreen, any cloud accounting that that has good routing software. And that's what makes us different than other accounting firms, right? So we dig into your routing software. We understand the industry. We understand the recurring nature of the why this is such an attractive industry. And so we've been doing this for quite a while, and probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I saw that this M&A frenzy coming, the values being built up, and I saw a bunch of deals get done, and I read them. I looked at the legal documents, I looked at the valuations, and there were, it was a wild, wild west. There were a couple of brokers out there who were just, selling pest control companies, and a rising tide lifts all ships. So they were getting great money, and the owners thought that it was great. And what I did is I kind of said, okay, well, could we get more? Could we do better deals? Could we, how is it, what value? It was funny. I did a PCT has an M&A conference that they do every year, and they ask us to speak, or they asked me to speak. And one of my competitors was on there the other day, and he talked about, I am an investment banker. I don't know anything about the pest control industry. I'm not, I never owned a company and whatnot. And I said, geez, why would you say that? Because you're very single focused, whereas we kind of have the whole picture. And what's kind of interesting is that, because we do CFO work for some of the buyers, actually, we've seen some of the deals. So we're getting the highest valuations of anyone in the industry. It's just been terrific. When COVID hit, we were kind of a little worried. Oh, my gosh, is this the end, or is this the beginning of the end? And the answer is no. We're right back where we were. As long as this economy stays where it is, as long as taxes stay where they are, and we don't know whether that's going to happen. But I also think that we're a very stable industry, and the need for or the desire to take over companies is going to be there. What the valuations will be in 2 to 5 years, I can't tell you. But I think that the outlook compared to the business in general, I think we're at the top. And I think we're going to stay there because we have recurring revenue. It gives you a great return on investment. And, we're highly desired. And, it's funny. 2008, 2009, General Motors files for bankruptcy, some of the best years that we had in our industry. COVID hits, you're in the restaurant business and you're out of business, and we're doing just fine. And so I think that as time moves on and all of these various calamities hit us, we just keep seeing how strong and resilient this industry is. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I think that's a great segue, because when we talk about, understanding change, understanding how to play the game, the ultimate goal of playing the game is to what?
Is enjoy
the playing. Is to win. That's exactly right. And so we're going to talk a little bit about, getting into the box here and kind of like what's behind the scenes here, and what are we going to be going inside of, right? And I think, the very first thing is going to be this whole M&A thing, right? How do you play the game in a way that you can maximize the value of your business, and how do you win this game of business? How do you make your company worth a lot so that when it's time for you to exit, it's time for you to get out and get into the merger and acquisition phase of whatever your business life cycle. Do you want to just briefly cover some topics that we're going to get into in this podcast about this, because I think this is a big part of playing the game, right? It's winning the game, right?
Yeah. So if you look at a finance book, right, one of the first things that it says is the goal of every business is to maximize the value of the business. And so you may say, well, that's not very charitable, and that's probably a little selfish. But at the end of the day, how do you score? How do you know whether you win the baseball game, the football game? It's the guy with the most points. Well, what are points? Points are the valuation of your business, whether you want to sell it or not. It really doesn't matter. But you know that you're winning the game if you or ever, you know, if you're increasing the value of your business each and every year. So it's extremely important that you focus on profitable recurring business. And it's also extremely important that you lean on industry resources such as Coal March for marketing, us for accounting, us, one of the neat things, because we've been doing this so long, we've been recognized by a lot of the large industry players. For example, we have a cost study that you can go and look at all of the percentages, where your labor should be, where your marketing should be, where your workers' comp and other expenses should be. And Syngenta actually sponsored this cost study. If you're interested in a copy of it, get in touch with me. I'm happy to do it. But we're also I'm really proud to be recognized by William Blair, which is a large investment bank, and in particular the research analyst that covers the pest control industry, Tim Mulrooney. We're going to have him up in a future podcast. But we're working on, they've created something called the William Blair PCO M&A Pest Pulse Index, and that's going to be based on data that we're going to push to them from our clients, hundreds of companies, the growth, the in various segments of the industry, and really proud to be partnering with them. But it just kind of shows you, we've been around, experiences. Experience is paramount when you work with folks who are helping you out there in the industry, and so that's really interesting. So
and I was going to say, and I think for our listeners, that'll be a very important thing for them to pay attention to, right? Because as you grow in your business, those numbers, first of all, knowing them is important. Second of all, is knowing where you should be at and being able to identify areas that you can improve, right? I mean, the whole idea behind growing and getting better is to look at what you're doing, look at how well you're growing, and figure out how to make it better. So, I mean, I think this is a great way to help our listeners do just that. And, just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying there, Coal March, we're very much in the same boat in that we sit in a unique position that we have, lots and lots of pest control clients, and we're going to do the exact same thing. Instead of a operating ratio report, it's actually a marketing report, and we'll be able to break it down by, your company size, be able to break it down where you're located in the country. And so I think it's just going to be a huge benefit for our listeners. But, we're also going to break into the whole finance side of things. Like, how do you look at a P&L? What does it mean for the balance sheet? Navigating cash flow, because as a business owner, we never have cash flow issues, or never concerned about making payroll. Or
what's interesting is most people, you don't need to be an accountant to read a P&L, right? Your revenue minus your expenses is what you have at the end of the day. But there's a lot of non-cash charges that show up on that. So I constantly get the question, Dan, you're telling me we're making all this money. Where is it? Right. And right. The answer is on the balance sheet. The balance sheet is extremely important. And in order to understand it, you do need somewhat of a bookkeeping / accounting background or explanations. So we'll be teaching that. How do you look at your balance sheet? The other thing is that your P&L, they work in conjunction with each other. So if your P&L is correct, yeah, you look at that and you can tell that you're making or losing money. But if it's not correct, there could be some items sitting on the balance sheet that belong on the P&L. So you might not be getting the whole story. So we're gonna delve into, you can run a very small pest control business in your head and everything's gonna be fine. There's two ways to make money in this business. One is stay very, very small and do everything yourself. Or two is to grow a business where you have a team around you that can help you with that. And when you get that to that level, you need you need intelligence, and that intelligence is your financial statements and also your operating statements that you get from your routing software and other channels. But it's extremely important, and we'll be talking about a lot of that.
But we're not going to stop at just finance. We're also going to get into the wonderful world that I get to play in, which is trying to figure out what Google is doing, and then lining your business up, digitally speaking, to leverage as best as you can, these digital platforms, and not just on the digital side. We're also going to talk about you know, things, other things that people are doing to drive business to their, you know, drive business into their companies, and whether it be through, you know, whatever marketing channels that they're using, what's working, what's not working. And again, you know, I'm excited because some of the guests that we're going to have on our show, you know, they're going to be kind of out of the box thinkers, right? And certainly, you know, we've got different segments. We've got door-to-door folks. We've got digital folks. We've got some that are doing a kind of a combination of the two, and some who are doing it all. And so I'm really excited about getting into the whole marketing side of your business and growing your business through marketing and sales. I think it's really important that people, and this is an area where you really need to be, you really, really need to understand what's happening, and you really need to understand what's changing. Because to me, if you know what's happening on the marketing side and the sales side, and you get in early, that's how you grow in this industry, right? Is recognizing opportunities before other folks do, not only in the operation and finance side of your business, but also in the marketing and sales and how to grow
just,
up through that.
The one thing that I've noticed about this industry versus others is it's kind of a fraternity. For whatever reason, people really like each other genuinely in this industry and share information. And the most successful companies that I've seen are companies that have reached out to others who have been there before them to get this help. And sometimes you're a little shy and you may not reach out like, you know, some of the companies, and you'll be able to reach out by listening to these podcasts. We're going to have these people on these podcasts. And I think that that's.
I should mention, you know, for all of our podcasts, we're going to have actionables at the end, and we're also going to give contact information, assuming that the guest will allow it, you know. So, because I mean, I know for me, I don't know about you, Dan, but one of the best things I ever did when I got started was exactly what you just said. I found someone I have no problems in name dropping here because he helped me out so much, but there was a guy in Richmond, his name was Dave Boots, and he was a really efficient, good operator. And I saw that. I remember I met him at a meeting when I first got started, and he kind of took me under his wing, and he was old school. He didn't help me out on the digital side that much. I helped him there. But he taught me a lot about the industry, and you know, and I owe a lot of my success today to a lot of meetings that we had in his office. And so I agree with that 100%.
By the way, Dave is a tremendous operator. The profitability of his company was incredible, and we had the mm-hmm. honor of representing him when he sold his company to Anticimex for an extremely high valuation, just because he did the right thing. And
he did.
So
great guy. Yeah. You know, and so the other thing that we're going to get to talk about quite a bit is operations, right? A lot of folks, you know, how to set your business up so that you can grab profit out of it. You know, and our industry has gone through several iterations. I mean, it used to be monthly pest control, and then that got pushed to quarterly, and you know, of course, now we're toying with triannual, and I know there's a few folks who are doing annual, but it's really learning how to be more efficient in the office, how to be more efficient in the field, and then what are the technology levers that you can use to bring even more, you know, enable your people to do more with less, right? I mean, that's the game that we play. You and I both know that, you know, our highest expense line on the P&L are people. So the more efficient that we're able to become, it only turns into more profitability over the long term, and I think a stronger business as well, a more resilient business. So we'll get into some of that. And then the final thing is going to be hiring and training, right? This is by far, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, the pest control industry, the lawn care industry, you know, we don't have any competitive advantage at all. Tomorrow, if I have a pest control problem or if I have a lawn, I mean, I can pick up the phone and call six different companies. I don't care where you're at in America, you could do that. So truly the only competitive advantage that we have as a service company, as our people. I think this is probably one of the key drivers. And so we're going to bring in people, and we're going to bring folks onto the show who really understand this concept and are doing some pretty innovative things in how to develop their people, how to get them all engaged and really work on their culture. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about getting them on the program. And I'm excited about, you know, for our listeners to learn how to do this, because I think this is probably one of the most critical areas of if you can get this right. Getting back to what you said earlier, Dan, about scaling your business, you really, you know, you almost change hats as an owner from someone who's in the pit and working and going at it to someone who knows how to develop their people and knows how to develop a team. And so I think this is really, really important. So,
you know, it's interesting is the If you look at your, so back to the people thing. So the difference between a service business and a manufacturing business is you've got to have good inputs in your manufacturing, right? So if you're a high-end auto company, you know, you're manufacturing Bentleys and you have people you have the best people on the line. But what we do is we manufacture hours. We manufacture hours of service. And the input is, yeah, you've got some materials, but the input is really your people, right? And so you've got to have the very best people. And it's interesting because when I got into the business, or maybe it was my orientation toward finance and accounting, headcount was headcount. They were just a number right. on a spreadsheet, as opposed to yeah. a real person that you're developing. And it's extremely important. And over the years, you know, I've gotten more, actually a tremendous amount of respect for training people and getting great people. Because at the beginning of my career, it was all about bean counting, right? Numbers, number of dollars, number of people, and how to keep that cost at bay. And sometimes keeping that cost at bay might be spending more money because you know that that's an investment, in good people and in training and whatnot. So it's an interesting point.
Absolutely. And I learned early on that I'd much rather pay the extra money and have less headaches than I would try to completely, you know, buy on the low end when it comes to people and then just have to deal with all the drama and everything that comes yep. with that. But, and so there you have it, you know, this is the podcast. I'm super excited about launching it. I'm super excited about, you know, just the flexibility and how many different topics we're going to be going through. But, you know, again, it all falls under this hat of growing your business, making it better. And, you know, understanding what change is and then kind of sitting up front in the seat with these folks and understand, you know, from these folks that are innovating in the industry, what they're doing. And so, Dan, do you want to just talk to folks about, you know, where they can go if, you know, once we get done with a podcast, if they want to get access to some of the materials or some of the resources, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So currently we've got our company websites, the Colmarch website, the PCO Bookkeepers website, the PCO M&A website, but we're working on a community website and we'll be announcing, you know, how to get involved with that probably a month from now or whatnot. But basically it's an online community. It's where videos are, it's where blogs are, it's where, the various, our cost study will be there. I know that you're working on some marketing study. It's where the William Blair Index will be linked to. And it'll be a question and answer type of website. And we'll be getting other professionals. So it's not just finance, operations, and marketing. We're going to have technical experts who are entomologists and things commenting and whatnot. And that's the vision. We're going to create this online community. And then from there, we'll see what happens. There's peer groups that we'll be able to be involved with, or that Donnie and I have run several peer groups in the past. So we'll be working with some of that, as a matter of fact, in the future. So.
You know, and I kind of want to close this, you know, introduction to our podcast with just this one thing. And, you know, my goal in this is, you know, much like what I said before, I have a lot of gratitude for folks who, when I was just getting started in the industry and as I was growing my business, who took the time to, you know, talk with me, to help me, to show me, you know, the ins and outs of the industry and really how to set my business up in the right way. And you know, I referenced Dave Booth. My goal in this podcast is to be that guy for whoever's listening, right? Is to be that person that, you know, hey, this is where I go to learn about, you know, I've got a problem here. And I just can't say, you know, how excited I am that we get to share this, not only, you know, the ideas and, you know, the interviews, but also the take homes, right? I mean, the content and just, and so, you know, for me, you know, I want to give back because in my case, I know I would not be where I'm at today had it not been for the help that I received. And now, you know, and I don't want to make it sound like I've made it to the promised land because I'm still driving and still trying to go, but I feel a responsibility and I want to do the same for someone else because I think it's the right thing to do. And I think it's what makes our industry stronger over the long term. You know,
I feel the same way, giving back to this industry, because it was funny when I left the accounting firm to go into pest control, some of the partners thought that I was out of my mind. They thought that I was, you know, and at the end of the day, I can tell you that as an entrepreneur doing what I do, as far as, and I still know some of those guys, we've done very, very well financially, but also quality of life, right? So there's nothing mm-hmm. more pathetic than a guy in his 50s working for a big company who hates it and can't get out because he's on the wheel. He's got to make that money right. every week or every month to support his family. But doing what you love, which is what we're doing, is just, you know, it's incredible. And so I have a lot of that gratitude toward the industry as well and giving back. And listen, we'd love to help folks. So.
And with that, we're going to sign off. Welcome to the PMP Industry Insider Podcast. We are so glad that you're with us, and we look forward to helping you grow your business. And with that, I'm Donnie Shelton here with Dan Gordon, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.